sense of the term, as if this is God's kingdom. Well, God indeed established a people. He made them a peculiar people. He made them great. But would the kingdom of God be simply a repetition of the kingdom of Israel? And my answer is no. So my next division of study, and this same basic division that we're talking about, is the kingdom of Israel is not the kingdom of God. Now let's look at that. Following the reign of Solomon, the kingdom divided. And ultimately, as I mentioned, the northern kingdom fell into whose hands? Assyrians. The southern kingdom fell into whose hands? The Babylonians. And why did this happen? Why did both kingdoms fall? Do you know? How's that?
They forsook God and followed others.
That's exactly right. They denied his right to tell them what to do. They ceased to be in subjection. They ceased to be an obedient people. God's people are clearly identified through obedience. Obedience is the only valid recognition of authority. He who has authority is king. He who is king is God. And God will not be mocked. So, they prided themselves, but their conduct did not prove themselves to be who they prided themselves to be. And in light of this, God permitted them to be taught a lesson, and they experienced a very bitter punishment and ordeal to their own personal pride by being subjected to a pagan monarch. But Israel's faith had in it the kind of stuff that enabled them to survive. And so survive they did. And even though they were carried into Babylonian captivity, they were learning their lesson during this time. They were learning while they were in Babylonian captivity a very marked difference between the way of pagan world and the way of God. And praise God, there were men like Daniel and those three Hebrew children that dared to stand up for God. So that when Babylon fell in the hands of the Persians, and the Persian rulers took a different attitude toward a conquered people than anybody else before them, they were permitted to return, and thus when Zerubbabel was ready to go back and rebuild the temple, there were thousands that were ready to go back with him. I tell you, even though they turned against God, they still had a faith that had within it the kind of stuff that would survive. And so a remnant returns, they rebuild their city, and they wait there then for the coming of the Messiah to establish his kingdom upon earth. Well, then my next major thought under this general heading would be the kingdom is at hand. From the days of Moses to the coming of Christ, the people of God hoped for in God and looked forward to the consummation of his purpose and the establishing of his kingdom. All during this Old Testament period. Well, with the coming of Christ, and he came in the fullness of time, as we learn in Galatians 4, 4 and 5, the hope of Israel has found its fulfillment in Christ. But will they recognize this? Will they realize this? Will they appreciate it? Well, we know the story, don't we? He came into his own, and his own received him not. But when the New Testament affirms that Jesus is the Messiah, it is affirming that for which the prophets had prophesied, that for which the Israel of old had looked forward to, is now standing in their very presence. But when Christ came and he proclaimed himself to be the Messiah, they immediately expected that there would be a political restoration. And particularly was this true on the part of the Jewish zealots. The zealots were those who were politically oriented. They said, we've got to overthrow the Roman government. It is not right. God is our king. And we will not be ruled over by the Caesars or by anybody else. That was their concept. The Pharisees said, well, we're going to make sure that we have the kingdom of God because we're going to preserve a people that in every detail of the law are thoroughly pure, honest, good report. We are law-abiding to the very end detail the remotest, the tiniest, the most minute part of every law. And they were to find out that they had a total misunderstanding of the kingdom because they saw it all as a matter of externals. They totally neglected the heart. The zealots saw it a matter of politics, overthrowing the powers that be. So what happened to the dreams of the Jews when Jesus came? Well, they vanished. It was like popping a balloon. They were gone. And Jesus then, realizing that he was a disappointment, went to work in preaching the kingdom. Now let me close with this thought. Would you who are teachers like to stand before your class next Lord's Day and teach a lesson? And you who are preachers, stand before a congregation next Lord's Day and preach a sermon. And know before you ever open your mouth that when they look up and see that you're the one that's there, they're disappointed. Now, how's that for a start? And that's the way Christ began his ministry. I hear what you're saying, and I'm disappointed. Wow. Does that cause you to take hope when you're discouraged and when the way is hard for you? It should. You see, he left us an example that we should follow in this house.